Well, welcome everyone. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Everybody say good morning. Morning. Everybody in Charleston say good morning. Good morning. Yeah. I'm so glad everybody's here. What a great day. We are in August. Can you believe that? And summer's just cruising through. And we're in a series called Forge, and we're moving through the book of Mark and excited about that. We're excited you guys are here. We're excited you guys are here. We're glad everyone has joined us this morning to dive in and just continue to learn what God has to say for us today. Before I dive into this series that we call Forged, let me first of all say welcome back to a team of people that were in Mexico all last week from Charleston location, Matchin location. We'd sent 17 people. I think we have a picture of them here. So they spent, yeah, it's awesome. They spent a week at Rancho de Sus Niños. It's an orphanage. It's a daycare. It's also a school system. And now it's also a college because they've just developed so many kids over the years. This has been around since the 80s. And so you're going to see some pictures kind of coming through here. But I just want you to know that when they go, they are serving. They're working with kids. They're working out in the community. They're working in the, there's a church right there on site. And it's awesome. And it's been a partner of ours for a while where we continue to go back and invest in these neighborhoods and invest in this church and invest in this ministry. I would say this to you guys. If you ever have, you always have an opportunity. When you have an opportunity to go on a missions trip, I would just ask you guys to prayerfully consider going. That we give opportunities 1, 2, 3 times a year, and that's something that you guys could pray and say, do I need to be a part of this? Is this something that I should be a part of? And so they have it's some work, and it gets hot, and you might get dirty, but it is such a blessing. And they'll come back and say, as much as they gave and served and was a part of helping others, God worked in their life even more. It happens every single time we go on a trip. God works in your life more than you've probably helped somebody else's. It's just God's economy. When you put yourself in the position to serve, God just continues to bless your life. So they had a great trip, and I'm so glad. I'm glad they're home safe and everything's good, and they got in super late Friday night, and we just wanted to tell them welcome back. And you guys have opportunities to go in the future. We encourage you guys to do that. Let's dive into the series, okay? Got a lot to talk about today. Forged is all about pressing in and forming yourself into who you're supposed to be. That's why we've had that great video of working with metal and building a sign and shaping and cutting and forming and forging us into you know what you need to be. And so the idea is to walk through the book of Mark this entire summer. And when you've come in, or in the last couple of weeks, we had these soap cards, and the soap is S-O-A-P, and it helps us kind of know how to process scripture. And the S stands for the scripture itself, to read it and to find that passage that you're supposed to read. The O is to observe scripture and say, okay, what is happening in this story? What's the climate? What's the attitude? What's God doing here? What are the disciples thinking? Whatever the story that you're reading, you're making observations. The A then is the application. How do I apply this to my life? God's word is active and it's living. And so now God has spoken to our life. What am I supposed to do about it? How am I supposed to apply this? And then the P stands for prayer, that once we've read and observed and begin to apply this to our life, we are praying and asking God, just continue to make that a part of me. And Holy Spirit, just continue to open up my eyes and click on the light bulb so I can understand better and see things better. So walk through the book of Mark with us, because I think you're going to enjoy it, because God really is forging us. Now, last week, I started something I do every fall. I'm helping out. I'm the offensive coordinator for an incredible sixth grade junior football team. And so these boys have been playing video games and at the pool and laying around on their couch all summer and not getting up early and going to school. And then all of a sudden, this day shows up and we all get them out on a football field and we line them up and we get them ready for calisthenics and push-ups and sit-ups and running sprints and running laps. And they're all mumbling and they're grumbling and they're like, we're tired. And I said, we're forging you into really good football players, young football players. And I feel like that's what this series is like. Sometimes we have to put ourselves in the position to say, I want God to push me a little bit. I want God to press in on me and make me, form me and make me into who God wants me to be. And so that's what we're doing through the book of Mark, and we're allowing ourselves to be taught and to be forged and pressed and really who God wants us to be. And so we've worked our way all the way up to Mark chapter 12. And obviously we're not absolutely verse by verse because it could take a year up to do that. And so we get ourselves into Mark chapter 12. And Jesus, you see him in the transition of doing a lot of public ministry to now he's pulling these disciples aside. And he's like, I got to have you watch this, and I need to teach this into you, and I need to invest this into you. Because as you guys know, we've been talking about, his time is coming to short where he knows he's going to hand this thing off called the church. And so he is spending time with disciples, and at the same time, he's teaching to the masses as well. And at this particular moment, what we're going to see today, we're going to read this passage that literally is only four verses long, and it's arguably the most famous offering story ever told in Scripture, and it's the most least amount of offering that was ever given. And I think it's really interesting that we get to this place and read this and study this today. I think that you're going to hear me say that God cares about the heart of who we are and how we give back into his kingdom and how we make available ourselves to others. And the heart of generosity is incredibly important. And so since Jesus took this time to pull his disciples aside in this moment that we're going to study, and we'll visualize it. He literally pulls his disciples aside in the hustle and bustle of everything and goes, hey, I need you guys to understand this. And if he did that with his disciples, I feel like today as we're working our way through Mark, we need to do that as a family too, is pull ourselves aside and go, hey, we need to look at this. We need to understand this. And so that's, today you're not going to hear me say, hey, we need to give more. You're not going to hear that today. You're not going to hear me say that. What you're going to hear is Jesus speaking to his disciples to say, hey, it's all about the heart. It's about the heart. And that's what you're going to get today. And let me say it this way. It's not the amount of giving. It's the heart of generosity. And Jesus really pulled his disciples together in this very short story to help them understand, listen, guys, it's not about this a number attached to it. It's about the condition of the heart. And I believe that we need to learn from that. Now, I know there's always an elephant in the room when you talk about money, and everyone, there's probably some people in the room going, oh my gosh, I haven't been to church in a long time. Show up, and I knew it. I knew that pastor was hoping to get some money. I just knew it. Like, that's what they do at churches. First of all, let me say, you know, we are working through the book of Mark all summer long, and this is since it's such a famously told story, we need to teach on it and help us understand that. So we're just working our way, and we're into Mark chapter 12, and we're going to study on this one for a little bit. And secondly, I want you to know just a little transparency. I grew up in church sitting next to mom and dad, and my dad, to be honest, would grumble a little bit, oh, that guy just wants my money. And I kind of grew up hearing that back at home. We would get home, and I would be in earshot of my mom and dad talking, and I could hear that church just wants our money. And so I actually grew up kind of thinking that, because that's kind of what was trickled into me just by listening to the conversations happening out in a different room. And so I, becoming a pastor, is like, I'm not going to create a climate or an atmosphere where anyone walks out of the church going, I guess that guy just wants our money. I want us to understand that we have been gifted by God in a great way, and God just wants to evaluate the heart, and then we get to go back and contribute into the kingdom of what he's wanting us to do, but zero pressure. Like we should all give out of a willing and a cheerful heart. And so you're going to hear me today not say, hey, you guys need to give. I'm going to ask you just to just maybe evaluate a little bit of an audit of your own heart and ask God where we're at in this, because I think my dad's grumbling is just always kind of in the back of my head, especially when we teach on passages like this. And so, in fact, today I think you might be surprised. I think you might be surprised that, wow, I didn't know that it could be taught in that way, and I didn't know that we could address it in this fashion. So trust me today, no pressure here. Let's jump into Mark chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up. If you have your guides, you can get out your phone, and you can go to thefields.guide, and you can, you know, go to today's verses, or you can just follow along on the screens. So let me set the stage here. It's a Wednesday. 48 hours before Jesus is arrested. So that's where we're at in the timeline. Literally, just 48 hours from Jesus' arrest and then crucifixion, death on the cross. So we're just a couple days out. It's Passover season, so Jerusalem is loaded with people. People would come back to Jerusalem, and scholars would say it could have been, the population could have swelled 10 times the regular amount. So if there's 50,000 people in Coles County, so you put a Charleston together and Mattoon together and Oakland together and some of the, you know, the other large, the other towns in there, if there's 50-some thousand people in Coles County, imagine if like 1 week out of the year there's 500,000 people in the area. It's like it's just packed. Packed with people. It's worse than like college move-in day here in a couple days over at Eastern. Like, you're like, don't go to Walmart in Charleston next week or whenever they start showing up because it's like crazy. But think that's like, you know, 7,000. Think 500,000. And so that's what it's like in Jerusalem. All these people are pouring in. The temple is packed with people, and they're doing their thing. They're going to the temple to listen. They're going to the temple to give their offerings. They're going to the temple because that's what they're supposed to be doing, and it's just loaded with people. And Jesus, knowing that his time is short, is teaching in the crowds of people. Now, they didn't have the stage, and they didn't have a microphone. He would have been milling around, finding a corner, beginning to talk, beginning to teach. People would gather in and go, "Who is this?" And they'd start listening to him. Now, the priest would be taken, they would be watching going, "Who is this? Why are people following him? What is he saying? Who does he think he is?" And so the priests were pretty nervous. They were pretty scared. They're wondering if, you know, they're losing some influence. And so Jesus actually had some pretty strong conversations with some of these religious elites because they thought that he was a threat, and so they would really throw some questions at him, hoping to trip him up and get him into trouble. That's where we're at. He's in and out of the temple. He goes and stays at somebody's house. He comes back the next day. He hangs out with people. He teaches. He's being influential everywhere he goes. And then he takes this break, and this story is told by Mark, and it's also recorded in Luke, and it says that as he sat down opposite of the treasury, this is after milling around and everything, he watched the people putting money into the offering box. So, I mean, he'd been tired, they'd been busy, they'd been doing their things, and so he goes in, and they literally just kind of pop a seat opposite of this offering area. Now, let me explain this. This would have been in, the temple was massive, and there's lots of different courts and outdoor courts and areas that you could go into, and some areas were restricted, and you couldn't go into these. And this was an area that would have been called the Court of Women. The reason we know this is because in a moment, you're going to see that it was a widow, a woman who put an offering in the container. Therefore, this was an area that the women could actually get into. And so he's in the court of women, and it's not just all women, it's just allowed them to come in. And so this is big area, public area, men and women were allowed to be in this area. And it's also where the treasury was at, so everyone had access to put money into the treasuries. Now, along this area in the treasury, there would have been 13 boxes. These boxes were shaped like trumpets. It was kind of a symbolic of praise sending a shout to God through your offerings. It was a worship to God. So these boxes were shaped like trumpets. And then as you would go in and place something in, you would announce how much you're placing in. And then some scholars would say, because there's 13, you might be able to say where you're wanting it to go. Or every box actually had an allocation. If you wanted this kind of ministry, you wanted to be part of this, you wanted to be part of this. But there was an audible, like, "I'm going to put in $500. And the priest would write down $500 or whatever. And so that was taking place. And so Jesus is sitting back watching people lined up across these 13 boxes and people going in and going $100 to the orphans fund, or, you know, 180 or whatever. And they were doing this. And so Jesus is sitting down watching this. He's observing this. A lot of times in our culture, we're like, "I don't think you should watch what anybody puts in the offering." Like, when that bucket goes by, I'm like, "Hey, you know, and I get that. Like, that's the culture we live in. This is just a different culture. So Jesus wasn't being nosy. It was just more public then. It was like if we'd put our offering boxes out in the lobby and on your way out, you just put it in the bucket out there. It's just people could sit down and kind of do some people watching and watch that. I mean, who hasn't done people watching, right? I mean, you guys have been people watching, right? You go to the mall and you watch people, and you go to a theme park and you get tired and you sit down on the bench and you watch people. Have you ever been to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning? I mean, there's some people watching going on there. Like, that's a good place to watch some people, you know, 2 a.m. Walmart runs. It's like, why you're at Walmart 2 a.m., I don't know, but and so that's kind of what they find themselves doing here. And then he goes on, he says this, many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which makes a penny. And I just want us to kind of break this story out. First of all, he says, rich people were putting in large sums. Now, I don't know if you've heard this story, you've read this story, you've heard this preached on before. A lot of times, like that's the bad guy or something. And Jesus, I want us to know, if we read this in just complete high integrity of Scripture, he's not even making any commentary statement here. He's not saying anything positively about this. He's not saying anything negatively about this. He's literally just giving us a factual statement. There's no hidden agenda here. When Jesus says, when we sat down, we were watching people give in their money. We saw some wealthy people go in and put large sums in. Then we saw a poor widow come in and put in 2 small coins. Very factual. And he's not trying to create this person is better than this person, or this person is better than this person. So he says that rich people were putting in large sums, and then he says a poor widow came in. Now, the word poor in the original language would have been abject poverty. The original word here that was used, not in English, because this would have been in Greek, that the original word would have been like abject, extreme poverty, which then most theologians would say that means this is a desperate homeless woman that has come in who's also a widow. And so poverty just has nothing, and she's coming in and she doesn't have anything. And the fact that she's a widow in that culture, when you become a widow, you cannot own anything. You lose your property rights. You don't have anything. And so this is who comes in right in the midst of some of these large gifts. And she comes in and she puts in 2 small copper coins. Those are called mites. This is why if you've been around church and read your Bible, some of you would, you might have heard the widow with 2 mites. 2 mites looks like this. It's very small. You know, they're probably smaller than a dime. It was the smallest Roman coin in the currency, and it was almost known as the worthless coin. It was tiny, and it didn't have a lot of value. In fact, that would have been the worth of 1/64th of a day's wage. So if you had that, then you could get paid this if you worked for about 6 minutes. And that's what you would have got paid. So there's not a lot of value in these 2 coins. And that's what she has. And that's what she puts in. And then this is what's so interesting. We read the rest of the story, and Jesus says this in verse 43. And he called his disciples to him. So he's watching people put in large sums of money. He's watching this widow put in these 2 mites. He calls the disciples to him, and he says to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put more than those who are contributing to the offering box. He says this, for they have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. All she had to live on. And I want us to understand this. This is not a commentary on the other gifts. Jesus is pulling the disciples aside because they're sitting down watching this, people watching, probably amazed at some of the larger gifts that were coming in. Because if they're making announcements, and in this kind of a situation, if you were wealthy, you would have been in a very nice robe, you would have looked very good, you would have walked in and you would have said, this is my offering, and it would have been some large amount. So these disciples were like, oh, did you hear about that? Wow, that'll pay for the roof. Wow, that'll keep the light bill on for a while, even though they didn't have electricity. That's amazing. And so Jesus has this teachable moment. Have you ever had a teachable moment with your kids, and you're like, hey, come here, did you see this? When I lead on mission trips, I always try to find that weird little thing that just happened. You bring the team together and go, hey, like, did you notice this? And then you give them kind of a teachable moment. He's pulling his disciples aside. He's like, hey, guys, let's talk about what you just saw. In fact, go back to verse 43. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, when he says truly, he is saying, I need to bring emphasis here. You can take this to the bank. Even though he's talking about money, so I'm sure that's what he said. But he's saying, listen, this is trustworthy. This is something you need to know. Take note of this. And then he says that she put in more. Now the disciples would have been, what do you mean she put in more? Like, who are you talking? I wonder if some of the disciples are like, who are you talking about that she put in more? We didn't notice anyone just put in two mites. Because their eyes and their attention was on maybe some of the larger gifts and some of the other people coming into the room. And they're like, oh, I didn't know they're coming here today. Oh, look at them. And again, Jesus is not putting down any offerings in here. He just wants to commend the widow. That's what I need us to hear today. Jesus pulls his disciples together, probably because they were already commending the bigger gifts. Wow, did you hear that? Wow, that's awesome. Wow, that's going to do so much good. Wow, that'll feed a lot of people. Wow, that's awesome. He pulls his disciples together and he commends the widow because of her heart of giving. And so he uses the terminology, she gave more because she gave everything out of her heart. While they were giving incredible gifts and out of their abundance, she gave so much out of her heart. And let me back up and say, this is not an instructional statement to the disciples where he's not saying, okay, come here, guys, this is how we live life. You only need to give two mites. That's the best offering. And he's not doing that. And he's also not saying, hey, whatever you have, give everything. This isn't instructional where he's telling people to give two mites or whatever you've got in your bank account, you just give it all. He's not saying that. He's helping them understand what was taking place in this lady's life. And he's bringing attention to it, and he's commending her for giving what she gave. Now, there are times God wants us to stretch. There's times that God's going to ask you to give above and beyond and do something different and do something that your spouse is going to go, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, that's going to happen. And God, we need to be listening to God. But I want you to know this little story of the widow of two mites isn't instructional as much as it's commending the heart of this lady. The disciples may have even ridiculed her a little bit. The people in the room wouldn't even have taken notice. Remember, this is the Passover. This place is packed with people. They probably wouldn't even have noticed her slip in and do this. And Jesus says, that offering of two mites, now that honors God. And so he brings attention to that. I want us to ask ourselves, how do we process these four sentences, four little verses? Very simple, like just a simple story that a lot of people have heard about, the widow that's given two pennies and two mites and two small coins. I think there's some things that you and I can draw from this because God wants to forge us into men and women of generosity and forge our heart to be like this widow. Three observations I take from this story that'll help forge us and who God wants us to be is number one is this, that she had a heart for the things of God. Like her heart was for God. She walks in there going, I want to be for God. She's there. She's going to the temple. She's making an attempt. It doesn't say where she lived or how far she traveled or anything. We just know that she took time to go into a packed out, crazy busy temple, and she wanted to be there. She's positioning herself to gather and worship and the teaching and to be there and to be able to give, and she wanted to be around God's people, and she just, the joy of gathering together, knowing everybody in this area, the one common denominator is God. And so she's finding herself going in and wanting to be, who doesn't want to belong? Who doesn't want to be intertwined with one great common denominator that we all belong to God? And so this widow is working her way in. It didn't matter where she lived. It didn't matter what she owned. It didn't matter what she had. It didn't matter her history. It didn't matter her past. It doesn't matter the pain that she's gone through because she's a widow and something has happened in her life, in her husband's life. And so she's holding on this pain. And none of that matters. She wanted to get into the temple because it was the right place to be for her. And I love that. She could have said, well, if I don't show up, no one's going to care. Come on, has anybody ever said that? If I don't go to church today, nobody's going to notice. Can we just be really honest and go, we're not coming to church so people notice us? That's not why we come. I can guarantee the widow did not come to church so she could be noticed. No one was taking notice. No trumpets went off when she went through the gates. She's just doing what she wanted to do. Was she has a heart for the things of God. She wanted to be there. She was there for the right reason. She really didn't care what other people thought. If she did, that would be probably pretty degrading to her because people probably didn't think much of her. And so it's a good thing that she wasn't caring about what other people thought. She was only caring about what God thought. And the second thing I learned from this, if you really kind of listen in and try to visualize this poor widow, was that she refused to make excuses for herself. I mean, we kind of live in kind of an excuse-filled, entitlement-filled society, and she was not thinking about herself. If she was to make excuses for herself, she would have woke up that day and said, well, I was going to go to the temple and give my offering, but I don't have enough, so I can't. I don't have much, so I won't give. That's kind of that excuse that she could have had. And we do this all the time, not just in money thing. I don't sing well, so I'm not going to sing. I don't have time to serve, so I'm not going to serve. And I don't really have, we don't have a lot. You don't know my bills. You don't know what's going on, so I just can't give. And we do, we kind of create a we can't Christian atmosphere. We have a lot of we can't Christians. I can't sing. I can't serve. I can't give. I can't. And Jesus is pulling his disciples aside. Remember, they're going to lead this church. We're here today, 2,000 years later, because of these disciples that he's speaking into. And he pulls them aside and says, don't have a we can't attitude. Look at what this lady just did. It was a beautiful, beautiful picture of honoring God with what she had, not what she didn't have. I'm sure she would have loved to have been able to drop a bill in and go, $1 million, click. You know, I'm sure she would have thought that would have been fun. You know, who wouldn't want to say, hey, watch this. This is cool. This will turn a lot of heads. But she's like, this is what I have, and I'm not going to make any excuses about it. I am who I am. I just believe that we need to learn from this, that we need to participate in all areas of kingdom life and not make any excuses that we have. Like, this isn't American Idol up here. Like, let's sing. Like, we ain't here for a production. We're not trying to win any awards here. We're trying to honor God with our voices and with our heart, and we want to be expressive to him. And it's okay, you know, if this lady had two mites and gave her two mites, you got two hands, throw them up, you know? It's good. Like, let's worship God. It's okay. And we need to be able to sing, or we need to be able to serve, and we don't want to make excuses of, well, that's kind of inconvenient, or I can't show up 15 minutes earlier. I can't be there for, you know, one and a half services or two. So I got too much going on or whatever. And I just think that Jesus is pulling these disciples in to go, let's create some example here. Let's set this poor widow up to be the hero. Let's show the world how much she has done in this moment that no one probably ever even took a note of. I think we need to be a lot like her and not worry about the excuses, because we all need to sing, we all need to serve, we all need to give. And Let me just say collectively, when we do that, God is so honored by your voices and your expression of worship, and God's kingdom is healthy and strong and growing when we all contribute in the serving and finding a place to serve and going to Growth Track, which immediately begins after this service. I just expect you all to get up here and you can go to Growth Track. It'd be awesome. But to be a part of Growth Track and learn where you can serve and things like that. And then collectively, when we give, we can make such a huge impact. Like when we get to heaven one day, we're going to see collectively how our giving and our generosity and our finances has changed lives of people that you've never even met. And you're going to see, wow, I didn't really give. Like, I didn't think I gave very much, but I didn't know it was going to have this kind of impact. And it will. In the financial world, that's called ROI, return on investment. You have incredible return on investment when you're investing in the kingdom of God. So it's a heart issue, not an amount issue. And this poor widow, she had an I can worship attitude, not a I can't excuse. And then the third thing I think we learn from this story is that she did more than was commanded. See, the two mites that she had, she was commanded to give a tenth of what she had. That was the law. The law was to give a tenth. And she had two mites. And I think it's interesting that Jesus points out she had two. Because if you had two items, you could give one away and keep one for yourself and feel really good about that. Imagine today if you just gave away 50% of everything you owned and kept 50% for yourself. You would feel really amazing. Like, I can't believe I just gave away 50%. And so Jesus is like, hey, this lady had two mites. She gave away both, but what was she commanded to do? Well, in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says this. This is where we get this from the law. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or the fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart for him as holy. And so their agrarian lifestyle was they wasn't always getting paid in money, but they had produce. And they're like, okay, if I've got 10 apples, I give one apple to the kingdom of God, and then I have nine for myself. If I have 10 baskets of barley, I give one to the temple and I have nine for myself. NIV says this, just to help us understand where this word comes from, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain in the soil and the fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So that's where we're seeing it's that tenth. Now, some people are like, that's before Jesus. That's the law. We don't live by the law. That's really old. When Jesus showed up, that stuff's out of here, right? Well, Jesus actually talks about this, and he says, hey, let's talk about your law, and let's talk about following the law. He says this in Matthew chapter 23. He says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees? He's talking to the religious elites here. He says, you hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. One seed for the temple, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seeds for me. One seed for the temple, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seeds for me. One seed, and that's what they were doing. They literally was like, one grain of this, 9 grains for our family. One grain for the temple, 1 grain, you know. And so he's like, I know that you're like doing the whole tenth thing. And that's good. He goes, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. And he says, what are those? Let's take a look at that. Oh, I don't think I have that in my notes. He talks about love and grace and mercy and justice. And he says, now that is critically important too. And he's saying, we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do financially, but man, the heart is the issue. He goes back to the heart. Do you have a heart of mercy, heart of justice, heart of love? He goes right back to the heart, not the counting. 1, 9 for me. 1, 9 for me. He goes, no, the heart. And that's why he pulls aside the disciples and shows them this widow. Now, I really think it sums up with Solomon in the Old Testament. It really helps us grasp this idea of money and us and God's kingdom. And he says this in Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Okay, so it says just honor God, worship God with your wealth, make sure he's important with your wealth, and with the best part of everything that you produce. But then this is what he says. Then he's going to fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good things. When we honor the God, then he's going to honor you and he's going to bless you. And so this poor widow gave two mites, two small, almost worthless Roman coins. but it was a huge gift from her heart. And Jesus had to pull the disciples away and go, hey, did you see that huge gift that just went in? And they're like, what are you talking about? No, the lady that just walked up, did you see her? Yeah, we saw that lady. Did you see that huge gift? And they're like, we heard two mites. Did we mishear that? He's like, that was a huge gift. That honored the Lord. Imagine if we develop a heart of generosity like that. Imagine what it's like if today we would quit thinking the church wants me to give more, but God wants me to examine my heart. Because that's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. The widow had two mites. She gave everything. Here's what I think we can learn from her is this, is she had a desire for God. Do you have a desire for God? She knew God. Today, do you know God? Do you have a real relationship with God? I'm not talking to you, attend church, or you're here today. I'm asking, do you know God in a way that you desire to be with him? Because she did. She made a way so she would be in that temple. She had a desire for God. She had a trust in God. Look at the next line there. She had a trust where she knew that she gave two mites, but she trusted God with that. She trusted God giving her all. She wanted to worship God. She wanted to be there to express herself the best way she could back to God and say, I love you. And I really believe this isn't, you don't connect the dots here in Scripture. Like, it just says this. I absolutely believe, though, if you just study this story and think about this lady, that she also understood the blessings of God. Because I don't think she would walked in that crowded room and gave two small mites if she didn't know that God was with her and God blesses her and God's going to take care of her. Maybe we can all learn today from a poor, single widow who only had two small coins in her hand. I think we can learn from that today. Why don't you guys stand with me for a moment? Stand for a moment. Listen, step one is this. It's to follow the heart of this widow with a desire. That's where I ask us all to begin, is a desire to know God. Keep your wallet in your pocket and ask yourself, do I have a desire to know God? That's the most important thing you could ever ask yourself right now, is do I have a desire to know God personally? You see, Jesus has a desire to know you. He laid his life down on the cross and he died. He willingly died. We're going to talk about that next couple of weeks as we finish out Mark. You're going to see that Jesus died for you so you could have life. And so do you have a desire for eternal life with God into heaven? That's what we're talking about here. To know God. And then the second would be, do you have a desire just to be generous? Just to kind of ask yourself, is my heart cheerful in a way that I want to give back to the kingdom of God? Because I believe God wants us to have a cheerful heart, and he wants us to learn from a very poor, older widow who had nothing. And Jesus says, look at this beautiful story of two mites, two coins, two pennies, two very insignificant pieces of metal. But Jesus says, this is what it's all about. Because it wasn't about the two coins, it was all about the one heart that she had in her. And she had a heart for God and a heart for his people. I believe that God wants to work in our hearts right now at both locations. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray.